Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Paramount Plus and the National Park Foundation present A Mountain of Zen. This Earth Week, you can live stream seven national parks for 7 days on Paramount Plus. Paramount Plus, official streaming partner of the National Park Foundation.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2. Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
Welcome in to the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast. I'm Mike Schaefer, joined by Brian Christofferson here on a wintry Tuesday. Brian, I don't know what it is about Nebraska-Purdue, but when these teams seem to play, Nebraska, you know, occasionally has a weather event. The game, however, should not be affected. Purdue already in town. The roads, everything should be relatively fine by the 8 o'clock start tonight. But yeah, do you remember... Oh, it would have been a handful of years ago. Purdue came into town. I think Nebraska beat them. They were ranked, and it was a complete and utter snowstorm in Lincoln. Like, they played the game in front of, like, a couple thousand fans that were able to make it to PBA. It was on a Saturday, and the whole reason I remember all of this is that I had participated in my first and very likely only polar plunge that morning.
Oh, well, that is a memorable thing. So were you shivering as you watched the end of it?
Oh. The polar plunge was right away in the morning. The game was like they moved it up to like a 1 o'clock start or a noon start, something like that, because the heavy stuff was going to be coming down. And I skipped the game because I just didn't want to venture out into the snow. And Nebraska, I think, kind of like put it on Purdue a little bit too.
I thought you were a real fan of the program and would show up like in your, like your towel, you know?
Nope. I have a very hard and fast rule, which is if I don't have a reason to go somewhere and it's snowing, I'm not going to be the idiot that's car is off to the side of the road because he had to go to the grocery store to get something, or that he had, like, I don't venture out. I don't mess with it. My vehicle is not particularly great in snow anyways. I'm not a particularly good driver, not a good speaker. I'm not any of those things. Ooh. So if it's snowing, I pretty much just avoid it. However, I get the fun and the joy of taking my wife to work here later this morning. So there's that. So I'll be out in it. It doesn't look too bad. And it does look, at least for me, and I'm right by a public school, so that could be part of it, even though they're closed today. Our side street is plowed, which is sort of a minor miracle in Lincoln.
They're stepping their game up, maybe.
Yeah, it hit over their threshold, which I think is like 7.5 inches, and then they venture outside.
Oh, okay. To your deal about Purdue and snow, I don't equate the two as much in my mind as you do, but I don't doubt your story. I think of Purdue always having a giant person at center, like a giant, and I think of a bad call. That's what I think of mostly right now. Some people around here still smarting over that call in the last seconds a year ago, but hopefully Nebraska makes it that kind of game on this Tuesday night, which is not going to be easy as we kind of work through that.
I feel like that was also the same day that didn't Matt Rhule get introduced at that game or something? Like, that was a December.
Might have.
It was a December Big Ten home game. The staff might have been introduced a little bit there. I know for sure there was visitors on campus. My section is right next to where the visitors sit, because I remember like Kai Wallen and some of those guys as they were coming up. I was sizing them up. I was like, okay, he looks like he can play the part. This, that. But I think they also got introduced at that game too, if I recall correctly. It was December of last year, which would sort of fit perfectly. And it was a Saturday game. It was an afternoon start, I think. And it's a hell of a game. I mean, we'd be fortunate if Nebraska-Purdue, if it plays out like that, double overtime, you know, maybe Nebraska emerges victorious this time. But that was it was a really entertaining game last year between these two teams.
Yeah.
Well, the first one. The second one in West Lafayette, less so.
Yeah. Well, going on the road in the Big Ten is hard. I can transition for us here.
Let's do it.
As we saw on Saturday, we'll work back. How about that? Because we'll start with the one that wasn't so good, and then we'll work to the one that was. I wasn't surprised at all by what happened in Madison. I don't know about you, Schaefer. 88-72. I think Wisconsin is the second best team in the league until proven otherwise. Northwestern is pretty interesting too, by the way. But Purdue, Wisconsin, they just got a lot of different ways to score. Chucky Hepburn is playing like a veteran point guard. Like a guy, I think some Husker fans are like, man, what if, you know, sometimes he had control of that game. And Nebraska defensively, as Fred Hoiberg has said multiple times since then, just wasn't the same on that end of the floor as they were against Indiana. And I think Wisconsin had a big share of that because they're just a lot better team. They got guys who can finish around the rim, and they're also hitting all their shots outside when they go about 50% from 3-point range and then can get whatever they want around the rim. It's going to be a long day.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of it just comes down to me. That's what a Wisconsin team that was averaging 6 made threes a game. You gave up 12. Mm-hmm. It's a Wisconsin team that was shooting nowhere near 50% from three. Nebraska just didn't close out well enough at the 3-point line. It's weird. It doesn't feel like the Bo Ryan Wisconsin teams. We'll put it that way. They did make it to a championship game once upon a time with Frank the Tank Kaminsky, but they definitely were better than I was prepared to give them credit for. And I had watched them beat Marquette that Saturday, same day as all the conference championship games in football. And it was like going head to head with the Oklahoma State Texas Big 12 championship game. And I was at a sports bar, and those were the two TVs that were there on those two games. I watched a fair amount of that, and I just thought, you know, it's kind of a one-off night, but they're good. I'll definitely give Wisconsin their props. And it, look, you know, people can take this how they want. Nebraska is really, really going to be reliant on how officials call games. And if officials let Big Ten teams just body up Tominaga, if they let him get grabbed and pushed and pulled, and he doesn't get to the free throw line. Nebraska, I think, only shot like 11 free throws in that game on Saturday. You know, they shouldn't be getting outshot at the free throw line by Wisconsin. That hasn't happened most of the year, and it did on Saturday. And, I mean, I wasn't able to watch the first half, but I listened to Kent at the start of the second half, and he was quite irate about several non-calls, particularly one memorable exchange with Jake Muehlheisen, where they debated if indeed there was blood, there would be a foul. And they've concurred that the Big Ten does not feel that's necessarily true in you know, response to Sam Hoiberg getting hit and then bleeding and the game having to be stopped, as Kent then proceeded to go into the play-by-play of the blood being wiped up off of the floor while also pointing out that there's blood but not free throws coming. I enjoyed it. I enjoyed the pettiness of it. But it's honestly true to me, Brian. I mean, if Nebraska doesn't get to the free throw line, they will not beat teams in the Big Ten more often than not. I don't think their defense is as good as what we saw them do to lower competition throughout November. I think they have a lot of issues closing teams out at 3-point. We aren't talking about this game yet, but Indiana had their best shooting night in a long time against Nebraska as well. And I just, you know, Minnesota did it to them too. It wasn't like Michigan State in the second half didn't shoot the ball reasonably well either. And, you know, Kansas State's the one game against a quality team this year where you can say Nebraska's defense completely showed up and won that game. And so I look at these upcoming matchups you got this week with Purdue and Iowa, and I mean, Iowa might not be very good and they don't play defense themselves, but they could shoot. Yeah. Nebraska's gotta, they gotta get better defensive effort if they're going to take one of these two games. And I think it's imperative that they win one of these two. And certainly the Iowa one looks a lot easier than the Purdue one.
Yeah. It's not going to be easy. You know, they never led on Saturday. It was 48-28 before at one point in the first half. Nebraska did get it down to 13 by the break. Casey, you're right. The officials were letting him go, which is not ideal. Casey kind of kept them afloat in the first half because he hit some tough shots to have 12. And then Eli Rice comes off the bench and hits his one shot, you know, that he always hits, which is nice. That right before the breaks, you're like, oh, maybe there's a shot here. There's the doors open a crack. Nebraska got it to 11 a couple times. It never got any closer, though. It was just like whenever they could get to 11, Wisconsin push it back to 17, and then they just kind of play this game back and forth until the end of it. So it was one of those where, you know, by like 15 minutes into it, it felt like it was going to be uphill with ankle weights the whole game for Husker basketball. And then it gets a little worse, and this is worth talking about now.
Yep.
Bryce Williams hobbles off, looked like a rolled ankle.
A couple times, right? Like there's a couple different times that, and again, I didn't watch the first half, but it sounds like he got hurt earlier in the game and then get re-injured again later.
Yeah, I think you're right, but the one that was notable was probably the last couple minutes he hobbled off, and you're like, it was one of those where you immediately knew this is could be a troublesome situation for
Wasn't Alec helping get him to the bench?
Yeah.
Yeah. And never a great sign.
So it's a rolled ankle. He didn't practice on Sunday and Monday before this Tuesday game. He was going to do an individual workout Monday afternoon or evening. And then of course they have the whole Tuesday before this 8 p.m. tip to kind of see where he's at. So it's not like he's been declared out. It seems like more of a game time decision. I don't know if you got a way like long term. I hate to bring this topic up, but this is what I would think about as a coach. This is such a monster test you've got. You want to be all hands on deck, but you also got to think about the full season. You know what I mean? And you got to get one of these games coming up like at Iowa on Friday night. And if a guy can't be very close to 100%, that'd be a tricky decision for me as a coach for in a game like this one. That's all I'll say.
Yeah, I mean, you can say more. I mean, we got more time to fill out on this podcast. You can't just shut down right now.
I know, I'm done. I'm leaving. Thanks.
Okay, all right. I'll ride this out. I'll pick a random Husker and then pretend like I don't know which one I'm talking about.
that'd be like when I was a kid. I used to we had
throw
a little
passes to yourself in the backyard.
Yeah, I did that too. Or like you. This was a little more sane where would you throw tennis balls off your roof and practice catching fly balls, bouncing them off, catching them off the bat. Yeah. But I also played foosball against myself. Yeah.
Like you throw it against the side of the house and it would come down the concrete and you were like, you know, you're fielding hot smashes at second base kind of thing. Like
that's why we were so good at our backhands. You and I both. But I would play foosball by myself. This is a sad thing. Like, yeah, I would control control the other bar, you know, with my hand, and I would go.
I don't know. You could have stopped before we got to that one.
I told you I should have stopped a minute ago.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's fair. That is fair. Yeah, the Bryce Williams thing, I'm of two minds of it, and I'll lay out both scenarios, and you tell me which one makes more sense to you. You want all hands on deck. You're at home. This is your chance to kind of get a marquee win, which still matters, you know, as Nebraska assembles their resume here. And this is the team in the Big Ten. I mean, so there's that, right? And then there's the part of me that's like, okay, if Bryce Williams is only 80%, I think I would rather, because even if Nebraska doesn't win, it results in some important playing time being handed out to somebody that you're going to need as the season continues on. I think I would then rather pivot towards, I'd like to see more CJ Wilcher in response of Bryce Williams being out, but then the continuation of that, because I think Wilcher's playing some pretty good basketball right now. I don't know exactly how Saturday went for him, but he played pretty well earlier in the week last week. Then I think you'd get more minutes for a guy like Eli Rice, who this Yeah, I mean, they're going to need him down the stretch. You mentioned he came in, he hit the big three, his one shot that he made against Wisconsin. I mean, we've talked about, like, what a lift that guy could be if he comes in off the bench and he gives you two threes a game, like two just critical daggers when you need them. So if he gets a little bit more playing time against the best team against the Big Ten because Bryce Williams can't go, I think long term that's going to help you out as you get into those matchups in late January and February where you got to start ripping off wins and you're playing teams that are maybe a little walking wounded and that kind of thing. But going back to it, your best chance to win is with Bryce Williams. It is a really sort of difficult either or decision. Do you think it's made a little bit better if you're able to get some more times to the guy like Eli Rice to see, you know, to help his development a little bit and in a critical spot?
Never hurts to get guys minutes like those. Eli's definitely one I'd like to see. Hoiberg mentioned on Monday during the Zoom call with reporters, you know, he's really happy with Eli and how he's developing. He said on the defensive end, there were a couple lapses and things maybe from that game Saturday. Of course, everybody had that. But yeah, he just on the offensive end, especially Schaefer, for a young player, I just am continually impressed with how he comes in and he just like looks like he belongs and he wants to. Yeah, I'll shoot that. You know, like a lot of guys when they get in the game, and I wouldn't blame them, you're cold or whatever, like that, you're not thinking like shot first or like I'm going to be that guy who puts it up here. And he's not scared of that moment. So that's a nice sign.
Yeah, for sure. Hey, let's take a quick time out here. And when we come back, we'll dive into the win that Nebraska had last week as they hosted Indiana and kind of ran the Hoosiers a little bit out of the gym there last week and setting themselves up for this four-game stretch where they got the first one. They did lose to Wisconsin, but now if they can split, that would be a pretty good 2-2 there. So more about Nebraska, Indiana, and, of course, Iowa ahead when we return here on the Husker 24/7 Hoopscast.
The baseball season is in full swing, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Stample, every weekday as we recap every player from every game. We'll talk waiver wire ads, drops, players to trade for, prospects who could make an impact, and everything in between. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.
Hello, everyone. It's Michael Richards here. You might have seen me on CBS working on their Champions League coverage over the last couple of years. I wanted to tell you about an exciting new podcast that I've been working on. It's called The Rest Is Football. It's me, alongside Gary Lineker and Alan Shearer, two absolute legends of the game. The show combines topical debate from the world of soccer along with outrageous tales from our careers. And I mean outrageous. Just search The Rest Is Football wherever you get your podcasts. All the best from Big Meats.
It was a very bright, shining light, Sarajevo, and they needed to kill that light.
From producers Matt Damon and Ben Affleck, explore how art and music sustained hope during the siege of Sarajevo, thanks in part to humanitarians and the band U2.
U2, they represent a personification of our resistance.
The Hollywood Reporter hails Kiss the Future, moving and inspirational.
Kiss the Future! Viva Sarajevo!
Kiss the Future, new documentary now streaming exclusively on Paramount Plus. Go to Paramount Plus to try it free. Terms apply.
So I mentioned, Brian, before we went to break, Nebraska did kind of take it to Indiana a little bit last week, which if you go look at the numbers in that game, it did not feel like there was a lot of defense that was played. Nebraska did a great job getting to the free throw line, took advantage of a lot of free throws there, took advantage of some pretty lackadaisical Indiana play, took advantage of a team that really struggled to figure out what they wanted to do offensively at times until they're like, hey, what if we just do this thing where we throw it to the really tall guy right by the rim? And then that sort of worked out for him for quite a bit in the second half. But Nebraska ran away with that one. It, you know, I forgot what the score was, but wasn't it like a 16-point win?
16-point win. I believe it was 86-70.
Well, yeah, I did the thing where you act like you don't remember, but then you nailed it. But I wasn't quite sure if it was 14 or 18.
No, it was 16. Nebraska's guard play was far better in that game. Xavier Johnson was coming back for the first time after missing like seven. Looked really rusty. It didn't score. The other young guy they had, Nebraska did a nice enough job on him. I thought Jamarcus had a pretty good game in that one. You know, and defensively, they did give up some stuff, but they also created a lot off their defense, and that's what they've got to do against Purdue. You had 15 steals. You forced 19 turnovers. Some of that, a few of those were just Indiana being sloppy, but Nebraska went out and got it, too. They took that, and so that was impressive. And then they were just really sharp on offense with their movement, and every time someone needed a big shot, it felt like it happened, including Bryce Williams, like banking in that one and put him up 20 at one point. It's like, yep, it's their night. And of course, it was the Kasey show. You know, there was a stretch where he scored 16 points in 4.5 minutes. And I thought Kasey's good play on the offensive end carried over into Saturday, too. So I wonder if that warm up is starting to occur, you know, if a Kasey front is moving in, because he played great against Indiana. Of course, that was the game. Dylan Raiola was there and all that stuff, and the Tominaga family, and he took a picture with them. It was just a feel-good Husker night of basketball. But you know what the biggest thing to me about it all was, Schaefer, was let's go back. We didn't know when Rink Mass was going to return for sure. And when you looked at this schedule, and it still does worry me because you just lost Wisconsin, now it's Purdue. Iowa's not an easy one on the road. I was worried about this four-game stretch. Like, when does Mass come back? How much is he available to play? Is it going to be a deal where Nebraska just can't function without him well and they lose four coming out of the break and it's a problem? And that game, we're going to look back on it. If Nebraska can do the right things, I think it was a huge game for Husker hoops. Mass was able to get out there and play like 28 to 30 minutes. I know he's a little sore, but that's just the way it's going to be. And he's on the court. He's doing the stuff he usually can do for the most part. And if you had asked me 2 weeks ago when he's returning and what the first couple of weeks would look back, I would have been pretty hazy on it. So the fact that he's been playing has been good.
Yeah, I recall thinking during that Indiana game, like if we had done a podcast like right after that, my one quibble of how everything played out is I felt like they pushed him a lot more than they needed to late in that game, because Juwan Gary had four fouls. You could have brought him back in. You still had Josiah Alec. You were up double digits, and he was still in there with like 2:30 left to go in the game. It seemed dumb to me. But so that might speak to that. He actually, for as much concern as we had of when he was going to be available, the fact that he was able to be out there and there wasn't any real noticeable difference, and he was able to log all of those minutes and they didn't feel compelled to pull him out, speaks to that they're obviously treating him as full go. Like they're gonna monitor it, I'm sure.
Yeah,
but it just struck me as if you're leaving this guy out there of a double digit lead inside of 4 minutes for really no apparent reason. You know, I don't think there was anyone who felt like Indiana was gonna be able to close a 16 point. I think it might have been 20 points by the 4 minute mark. So that was a little bit kind of a quibble, like save a few minutes, save some wear and tear. But it also reminded me of something else, and we got a little update on him. This team could really use Blaze Cada. Could really use an extra big that they could bring in when they get into foul trouble, when Juwan Gary gets called for stuff, when Josiah Alec is a little bit ineffective at times. I think we've seen the best of him this year, and he's far more of a role player than he is a guy who's likely really going to contribute in a meaningful way. They could have used Blaze Cada for sure this year, and I don't know if we're going to get him. I really don't, and you have more information on that.
Yeah, I think it's still up in the air. Hoiberg said it's going to be 2 weeks before, next couple of weeks probably, before they know if he's going to contribute, like maybe a month from now. He was doing some footwork drills in front of the media the other day. He does still have a little ways to go. He hasn't done any live work with the team yet. So, I mean, it's a ways away on the calendar.
Well, like you're talking, maybe if he is able to come back, maybe you get him for kind of the last 5-6 games of the conference.
I mean, it would be nice to have that one other body that, even if it's 6 to 8 minutes or whatever that looks like, that you can use or spell somebody if you're in foul trouble. It would, you know, help get guys that one extra breath on the bench. Juwan Gary, I want to say this quick. I know we got to move along here, but Juwan is going to have to step up going forward too, and that was talked about in the Zoom call with Hoiberg the other day. He actually hasn't had as many rebounds you know, the last three games out, has been kind of quiet on that end. There's been foul trouble, I know. So he's been challenged. He challenges himself with that stuff. They're going to need the Juwan. I'm not saying he can't go out and do Kansas State second half Juwan Gary stuff all the time. But if he can do, you know, where he's close to, you know, he's giving 8 to 10 boards or something like that, this team needs it right now.
Yeah. We don't have a lot of time to go into Iowa, but that's fine. They're the same basketball team that they've always been. They're going to score a bunch of points. They're going to play bad defense. Fran is going to blow his top at some point. We're all going to laugh about it. Any other thoughts that you want to throw in there on Iowa?
I mean, we said before Indiana, this was like we like to put it in a four game stretches, yep. Basically, or I do.
They got another big four game stretch. Yeah. It's right after Iowa, too.
But I do think the schedule opens up some. There's some of these teams where they're maybe not quite what they used to be. Iowa, you could say, is one of those perhaps, yep. But it's there and it's just tough to win on the road in the Big Ten. But before this four game stretch, we said if Nebraska could somehow get two, you know, with Wisconsin and Purdue sandwich in the middle of it, that would be huge. I don't think all is lost if they're 2-4 at the end of the week. I think there's still chance to come back and rally from that. But you'd love to just
3-3 feels a lot better.
Man, it does. You just want to keep your head on that 500 bar or above and work from there. So that's a big key to it as you look at the schedule. But I do have a Husker for you if we want to do it.
Yeah, let's dive into it. Every week we go back and forth. Last week I had Mikey Moore, and it took BC a little bit longer than I expected.
Kind of embarrassing.
And he'll be the first to admit that, apparently, as well. So this week he will have a random Nebraska player throughout Nebraska history that we have largely been condensed to at least my lifetime. Well, and certainly Brian's because he's older. But sorry, that wasn't supposed to
be. Yeah, what a jab.
That came out wrong. Anyways, I'll shut up. You have the floor.
Yeah, by the way, in defense of my Mikey Moore problems last week, I just got in my head that he wasn't on that NIT championship team for some reason, and that really threw me.
He played a big part in beating St. John's, I think 11-13.
Because once you said he was on every NBA team, basically, there's only like one or two guys it can be. Okay, the guy today, your Husker of the day, would you like his town?
Sure, yeah. I like the biographical stuff like this.
Maywood, Illinois.
Okay.
Does that help?
Well, Illinois makes me think of one very specific player who never quite knew how good he could be. But I need another clue before I'm going to jump.
He
on
was
that.
He was listed at 5'8".
Are we talking about Charles Richardson?
Yeah.
How do you like them apples?
It's pretty good. I didn't even work to what I wanted to work to.
You wanted to get to the big shot against Texas Tech?
Yeah,
it's
my favorite.
And dock with the weirdest celebration of all time. And
it's one of my favorites.
As a fellow big man, and he thrust his gut out and he just starts swinging around. You can't see it on the podcast, yeah. But I'm trying to do it right now. And it was on every highlight clip subsequently for every Nebraska basketball season that Doc would coach after. That was his first year. It was my first semester at Nebraska. It was like a January night in 2007. Pretty sure Nebraska was still playing on Fox Sports Midwest at that time. And me and my roommate, and we're watching in our dorm rooms and just annoyed that Nebraska just couldn't seem to put it together. And then lo and behold, out of nowhere on an inbounds and probably like 35 feet from the hoop, Charles Richardson, shortest guy in the court, heaves it, smashes it.
Yeah. To win the game 61-59. And it was a play where Texas Tech actually had the stop and one of their guys like saved the ball from going out of bounds and flipped it back in and it went right to Charles Richardson who lined it up and knocked it down. And it was a very I was watching the game with some people recognize his name, Matthew Hansen, the fellow journalist of my time. We were at his apartment watching it and we were like, this doesn't happen in Nebraska. Like this is people who follow Husker hoops, we have had to get excited about stuff that's not like the greatest accomplishment in the world, but it's something, and you just want those crumbs. And it was one of those games where here's some crumbs, folks, for those of you who are watching this on a Tuesday or Wednesday night, have some crumbs.
The exact opposite of that game would come like a year later, I think, where Adi Dogunduro helps get a defensive stop for Nebraska and heaves the ball down the court to a racing Steve Harley, who just needs to secure the ball to basically get fouled, close out a game against Texas A&M. His, like, I don't know, the whatever the very tip of his shoe touches on the white right in front of me in the red zone section, he's called out. Texas A&M gets the ball, hits a half-court shot. Josh something nails it. Ooh. And that was just like a massive blow to that team. That might have been 2008, 2009, but I had it in my head it was maybe 07, 08. But it was right in that run of things where, you know, just the inexplicable Nebraska snatches, you know, defeat from the jaws of victory type thing. And so for them to be on the other side of it was always sort of remarkable.
Yeah, the game you're talking about, that team had, that Husker team had tournament hopes at that point.
Yeah.
It kind of derailed them. But as we close out, you should say one dramatic line, because our podcast has been, this has been having an effect on people. You had the dogs idea, and it seems like the diss dogs just like are living in Lincoln now. Yeah. And that's fine, by the way. That's not a shot. They keep them coming, I say.
I think Mahomes needs them in Kansas City against Miami. They have better... Better ability to catch downfield than Valdez-Scantling or Kadarius Toney.
Did you see against Indiana, the guy had a bad throw, the Frisbee, and so it went over by the student section, and the dog, I don't blame him. He didn't want to go around, so he, like, went through the chair. He was, like, working through the chair, like, to get to the Frisbee, and it just warmed my heart. So, yeah, that I'd keep that coming. We also were – got a line on their hype video after the win where I said something like, there's going to be a lot of energy in the gym tonight. So if you said, like, I don't know, think if you thought of something like it's going to be a hot one tonight, or, you know, just kind of something that would play well, maybe save it for another game. But
it's a great night to have a great night. I don't know. I don't have anything.
You didn't say it with enough, like, you know, like
Brian,
low
Nebraska basketball, it is a great night to have a great night. Go get yourself a marquee win. Put yourself on the map. Make people notice this Nebraska basketball team. It's not the same as you've recognized. It's not the same as you know. You go take care of Purdue, people around the league are going to notice. People around the league are going to start to think, Nebraska, that's not a win anymore.
There you go. You might have a shot. Okay. I don't know. We'll see if they cut that up.
My other great idea, and this falls in the category of maybe I shouldn't even say it out loud, but do you remember Steve Adazio, the former Boston College?
I think
he also coached at Colorado State. There's the viral clip of him. I think it was like a Vine when that was like a thing. And he's standing on the stadium steps with the field behind him. And he's just like, what's better than this? Guys being dudes. What if Trev Alberts did that from, you know, the top of the third section or the second section of PBA, and the disc dogs are just down there catching it? And he's just like, what's better than this? Dogs being dogs.
There you go.
That'd be a good video. I think people would like that.
Could set it up every time he could say that. And then, you know, there'd be kind of like a smoke, and you know, turn the lights down, have some smoke come out, and the dogs. Unless that bothers the dogs.
We don't want to bother the dogs.
Yeah. But anyway,
this needs to be a pro dog thing. So
we do have good ideas.
Yeah. We have nothing but ideas. We maybe don't have good points, but we have ideas. All right, Brian, I got to run. Appreciate it. As always, everyone check out the work that Brian does covering this basketball team at Husker 24/7. Get to the game tonight. Like I said, Nebraska put themselves on the Big Ten map with a victory over Purdue. Let's see it happen.